Hey, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Where are you talking from, Alex?
I'm in my front room at home.
Where are you? In London, or are you...
Leafy Southwest London.
Southwest, what's that? The Putney and that sort of...
Yeah, kind of East Sheen.
Yeah, cool. Right, Parv, do you want to introduce Alex?
Alex, you're the CCO now of AMV, is that right?
I am, yes. Yeah.
What's the next one after a CCO? Because that's been around for a while now, hasn't there?
A P45, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, Alex, you're the CCO. You started off at Saatchi's, then 14 years at BBH.
That's right, yeah.
And then over to AMV, where you were ECD and now the CCO. Dave probably knows every single bit of work that you've ever done, including all your homework and your school projects. So,
some of that on file.
I mean, namely Saatchi's, the 18 to 30 campaign that you did there, which was amazing.
I didn't actually come up with that. I just kind of coattailed on, do you know Dave and Ed who did that?
Yeah, yeah. They kicked it off, did they? Yeah.
We were kind of in them. They were our group heads, so we kind of added a few of the posters whilst they were doing it. So I can't claim credit for it.
So, Alex, have you only worked at three agencies ever?
No, there's one you missed off there, because when we left BBH, we went to, it was called Glue, for just under a year. So we did our little experimentation in a digital agency.
How was that?
Well, it wasn't very productive. We didn't get much out, but I enjoyed the experience a lot. The people there were lovely, so I had a good time. And it was very useful, I think, having a break from BBH and going to somewhere smaller and different before then jumping back into AMV.
Very brave at the time to be so established at BBH and then to go somewhere that is almost unknown.
Looking back on it, it was kind of slightly foolhardy, actually, but luckily it kind of paid off.
Did you turn up there thinking that all of a sudden you were going to start doing loads of digital and understand what digital was?
Yeah, I mean, that was the idea. It was kind of, as that was all emerging, because this was quite a few years ago now, we thought, it's like learning a foreign language. If you want to learn French, the best way to do it is to go to France. Yeah. So we thought, if we want to try and future-proof ourselves and keep on learning and be curious, then go to the best place. And I think they were the digital agency of the year at the time.
Right then, Parv, do you want to kick off with the first official question?
Are you still working, Alex?
I am still working, yeah. We're working pretty hard, actually.
We've been quite busy. Funny, because I've been doing quite a lot of stuff with you guys, with Tim, and doing quite a bit of Rexona stuff as well. So, I mean, everyone seems like they are really busy, actually, over at your place.
You know, so not all of them are busy. Some have kind of turned off, and then others have turned it up. So they kind of meet somewhere in the middle. But
seems to be a lot of pitching going on at the moment as well.
Yeah, we've done, I think we've done three pitches so far. It worked okay. It's I was really worried about it, because especially on pitches is that serendipity of when you're all in a room at, you know, whatever time of the morning and someone comes up with an idea. But actually it worked quite well. I think people had a bit more time to actually think about stuff, think deeply, which is probably a benefit. And
yeah,
it's been okay.
Have you enjoyed it as much, Dave?
What, the sort of isolation?
No, the pitching. Because you've had a few.
A couple of pitches. No, I think, as Alex says, really, I think it's interesting that most people you talk to say that they can think slightly differently and a bit deeper because you're less distracted with meetings and other stuff. The slightly weird thing for me is the presenting work on Zoom, particularly in a pitch. It's like I did a talk the other day to SCA, and there's like 50 or 60 people. They all turn off their mics. So you're going through an hour and a half and you think, oh, this bit's funny. And then it's silence, obviously, because everyone's... It's kind of slightly weird when you can't feel anyone's reactions or... So I don't know, the pitching on the Zoom takes a bit of getting used to, but I suppose you do. People say that that's more tiring when you're in a meeting on Zoom than in real life, because you're desperately trying to reach out for information on what people are thinking. But
I was reading about that as well. I think that's very true. I'm getting used to it now just because we've been doing it more. So I suppose it's like any muscle or something, you kind of build it up. But it's draining because it's much harder to read the body language, I think, isn't it, of the action. So you then tend to kind of, or certainly I do at times, you tend to kind of overcompensate because it's hard to gauge the energy of what's going on.
It's funny, a little while back I started to watch radio programs, you know, when they filmed them. Really funny how you're not used to watching people presenting radio, and now you can pretty much watch Talk Sport and you can watch most of those programs and you can watch them live. And it's really weird looking at the radio presenter's reaction and his reactions to when he's talking, because you don't normally see that when they're on radio. And actually, it's a bit of a surreal experience when you can actually see them disliking or liking something with their eyes and their face.
So you get more information out of it than you do just on the radio, I guess. Yeah,
but I don't know whether it's good information. situation, though.
I'm with you. I've seen a few of those things where you see there's a camera on the radio presenter or DJ or whatever, and it's strange. It feels really intrusive.
James O'Brien, if you watch James O'Brien, because they're out quite a lot, and you watch his face and his reactions, and you go, I wouldn't get that if I was listening to your radio. I would just be listening to your voice, nothing else.
So, Alex, obviously, a lot of people are listening are bored shitless at the moment. So what would you recommend to them to watch? Something they may not have seen.
Something they may not have seen. I mean, like most of the world at the moment, I'm watching The Last Dance, which is very good, the Jordan documentary, but that's...
We'll ask you that now, and if anything occurs to you, what you'd recommend.
Yeah.
So Michael Jordan, I mean, that's an amazing documentary, I think. So great, horrible, or both?
Jordan?
Yeah.
I think he's one of those people who, if you're actually in that team, you kind of love and hate him at both the same time, which seems to be the consensus, doesn't it? I mean, he seems psychotically competitive. Being around that person day in, day out would really get on your tits, I think. But it's one of those things you look back on later when you've got your 6 championship medals and think, yeah, actually it was all right.
So, Alex, is there anything during this period of coming up to 8 weeks now that you've learned about yourself that you didn't know before?
I don't know. I knew I was a kind of introvert and comfortable in my own company and stuff like that. So I thought the kind of whole lockdown thing, I'd be fine. I've actually discovered that I do really miss the energy of being around other people and stuff like that. So it's been harder than I suspected. It was kind of easy at first because you spend time establishing a routine and just getting on with work. But it's only 8 weeks in now. I'm kind of really missing that contact with people more than I thought I would, because I was, when I was 7, I was sent away to boarding school. So I thought after that I could survive anything. But this is up there, the boarding school level.
Is it really? It's interesting, that's come up a lot, that A, most creatives tend to be introverts, and most of them that we've talked to have said that they've been surprised that they've missed people more than they thought they would. Do you think it would change the way that you work going forward?
I think certainly moving forward, and I think it's something we're discussing at the moment, is this is the time to embrace proper flexible working. And I can't really imagine a thing going back now where I could be in the office 5 days a week, because I think it's so valuable to have time where you do need to sit down, think deeply about something, especially in the kind of previous life, for want of a better descriptor, any kind of actual writing I wanted to do, I had to do when I got home at night, which is fine, but a bit of a pain in the arse, because it's just simply impossible to concentrate at work. So now being able to divide my week between doing that, thinking, planning at home, and then doing more meeting-based stuff at the office would be good. I mean, I can imagine easily a kind of 3-2 split or 4-1 or something like that, or just a rolling thing where you think, oh, this week I'll be at home, next 2 weeks I'll be in the office, and try and get into that kind of rhythm, which would, I think, be much better.
So is there anything that you've done at home, just because you've been at home, that you wouldn't normally do because you're just always busy at work or in the office?
No, this is where I should present myself as an amazing human being and say I've got into bonsai and stuff, but no, not really. I've done a lot of exercise.
I suppose spending more time with the kids?
Yeah, that's been nice. I mean, my kids are 16 and 10, so the eldest is on a screen somewhere in the house as we speak, and the little one's kind of running around. But yeah, that's been lovely, actually. I'm going to miss that enormously when I go back, because you just get this kind of, you get very comfortable being with one another, and it's lovely.
Have you noticed any environmental benefits?
A little bit. I mean, what's nice about where I live now is that I'm right underneath the flight path, so obviously you don't get the planes coming in, and you do hear the birds a bit more in the morning and stuff like that, which is nice.
Have you been out cycling then, Alex?
Yeah, I try and go, like, most days I get on my bike and go out.
And it's probably been quite quiet, hasn't it, recently? I mean, to be fair, actually, there's a lot of cyclists on the road, because I live out in Kent, and there are quite a few people cycle where I live, actually, just through all the country lanes. And I've noticed there's even more cyclists, not actual cyclists, probably like yourself, who does cycle a lot, just people out on their bikes.
It's been a very interesting way of tracking the lockdown, being on a bike, because when it started, the roads were literally deserted, and it was like cycling paradise. And certainly in the last week or so, it just seems like traffic's back to normal, and like the UK has collectively decided that the lockdown's kind of over.
I've been to the supermarket this morning and it's normal.
Is it really?
It's normal. It's actually quite frightening. It's normal.
It's amazing how quickly it's happening.
Right, what else have we got? So, do you clap on a Thursday?
We do clap on a Thursday, yeah.
I'm waiting for someone to say, I don't know what you mean, in which case, job done. But so you do, good.
Our neighbours next door haven't come out once during the whole thing, which is a bit weird.
Really? What business are they in, do you know?
No, I don't know. I don't know them very well. So I'm not really planning to after this either.
It's just a bit shame.
They might think that you're really annoying because you're making a load of noise at 8 o'clock on Thursday evening.
What do you think about it? Do you think the clapping is losing some of its power, though, or do you think it's intensified?
I think it's losing its power.
I think it's fractionally intensified where I am. Initially, I think a few people didn't know it was happening. Yeah, I mean, I would say where I am, 30% of the people were hanging out windows or at the doors clapping, which is not as much as you want, but yeah, it's slightly gone up, I think.
I think the thing is, with this thing that the way they've relaxed everything, they've almost made it like as if everything's back to normal now. And that includes all the key workers and everything as well. They've just sort of brushed it under the carpet a little bit for them, which is a bit unfair because they're obviously still out there working. And that's why I think kind of get the feeling that people are sort of doing it a little bit less because they think, well, it's getting better now.
So how many loo rolls do you currently own, do you think?
I think we're in a pretty normal... I kind of avoided that loo roll madness, so we didn't stock up or anything. And actually, there was a moment when I think we were down to one roll where it was getting a bit serious, but...
Yeah, that would put you right at the bottom if you're still there now, but...
Yeah, so I'd say we've got a standard, like, probably in the house, about five.
Okay, yeah.
That's bottom three.
Bottom three, but I think the timing, we've got to factor in asking people late and asking people then. We may have to update that question. We'll rethink that question.
Who's top?
Tony Barry. Do you know Tony Barry?
I know him a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, 90 rolls. Are you drinking more or less, Alex?
I don't drink that much full stop, but I'm probably drinking a bit more because I've kind of ordered in bulk. So I haven't done a loo roll, but I have kind of got, you know, a crate of pale ale and got some nice red wine in. So I'm having a bit more than normal. No, I'm not going mad.
So, Alex, the last question. Can you name an ad that you've seen over this period of isolation? Either good or bad. Can be anything. Just anything that pops into your head.
There's so many that are just vanilla. I was watching an ad break the other day. I don't actually watch that much telly. It's mainly probably like you guys, Netflix and stuff like that. And there were four ads in a row that were all kind of Zoom shots of people in call centres saying they were here to help me.
Now more than ever.
Of the ones that are in that genre, I thought that Cadbury's one was not bad. And at least it kind of linked to that idea about joy. So it
kind
of felt... I don't know, but none of them are really working, I don't think, are they?
No.
We're all waiting for the bit of work that kind of comes at it from a left field angle and you go, oh, wow, that's good.
Excellent. All right. Great to talk to you. Thanks for making the time.
Yeah, likewise.
Cheers, Alex. All the best.
Bye.
Bye.